Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit Morrison's Appliances and Service.com.
Hey, welcome, folks. By golly, we're here at the Inside Outdoors program, and this is old Buddy Bill here, about half asleep, and ain't woke up yet, but I'll get there. And I got somebody sitting over here.
Yeah, I'm Don Jordan. I'm also on Inside Outdoors with rubbing his tummy, Buddy Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and this is Rich in here in the control room, making sure all this is happening.
Well, we got it. We got to have you.
You were working out this morning.
Yeah, you're important. You finally got us all going here this morning.
Just in the nick of time.
Yes, in the nick of time. Oh, I thought we was going to be.
That's not nicotine. That's nick of time.
Not nicotine. Right, nick of time. Right. Well, by golly, welcome everybody, and glad you could tune in this morning. By gosh, beautiful morning, 71 degrees, right, Rich?
Yeah, 72 downtown, a little hotter down here, but
I had 73 up in north side of the county.
Northern Indiana, northern Monroe County, a little warmer, huh?
Well, up on top of the hill, you know.
Yeah, that might have been it. Uh-huh. Well, it was 71 anyway when I left home.
That's close enough.
Better than 30.
Yes. So anyway, we've had some beautiful weather this week, really. We need a little shower of rain, but... Well, you know, can't have it all.
My garden is up. I got spinach up. I got radishes up, all kinds of lettuce. The sun really popped up those seeds.
Oh, yes.
The beans are up, you know. Just
oh, you already got your beans planted?
Beans are up. Excuse me. And it's been pretty spectacular. And I'm hearing that the fishing is pretty good, and especially good in streams if you can find one that hasn't been turned brown by the I-69 project. Spotted bass, largemouth, and smallmouth, if you can find them.
If you can find them. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing right there.
Well,
what's a lake level? I don't think I have a lake level.
Well, I just looked it up, Bill.
By gosh, I don't have.
It's 546.1.
46.
That's
still
8.1 feet above normal.
Still up there.
And it's 57.2 degrees on the surface.
That sounds about right.
So it's approaching 60. That's kind of a magic number. That's really send the bluegills maybe to the nest this month.
Gwen Mills, they were down, him and Jared from up around Lafayette.
Your crappie fishing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they caught a few. Nothing big,
mm-hmm.
And that was about the water temperature they got.
Mm.
So you're pretty close right there.
Well, Cataract, Kegels Mill, Lieber, whatever you want to call it, is still 40 feet high. So
still 40.
It was 46 last week, so it's dropped some.
Huh. I thought it would have dropped by now, but everything's been flooded.
Yeah. It was, remember, it was 60 some feet over normal at one point this spring.
That's high. that is ridiculous.
Can't touch the bottom with your toes.
That's ridiculous high.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What's that music I hear?
Well, we got to take a little break and recognize our sponsors.
Well, let's do that.
And they keep us going. So don't go away, folks. By golly, if you're hungry, you might as well go ahead and eat a little breakfast there while we're on break. And by gum, we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also at 98.1 Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville. Of course, we're online at WFHB.org. And this is Inside Outdoors. Be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, Don, have you found any mushrooms?
Yeah.
I got that answer real quick.
I have found zero this year, 2 years in a row that I've been blank.
Well, I didn't figure you had found any because you didn't bring in a big old mushroom sandwich.
Yeah, well, there were a few found. I've heard of some guys
They have
few.
Found a few, but it's been very few.
Very few. I saw a huge basket of them somebody picked in Idaho.
In Idaho.
So, well, and they got morels in Idaho. I guess a little snow doesn't bother them.
Well, snow doesn't bother them. Makes bigger mushrooms. Snow does.
There's a picture of a lady sitting beside the Couderay River, and she had a huge basket of kind of brownish color morels. They weren't yellow and they weren't black.
Well, you're a little different than ours.
Maybe, but they sure look like morels. Yeah. I sure would have eat them.
Yeah. Been tickled to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a bad year for mushrooms. And then it was so wet and cold.
Yes.
And then now it's turned off dry and hot and... Now's when you need a shower of rain, but I think it's getting a little too late now for mushrooms.
You might
find some if you're just lucky. And
those big yellow ones are probably up, hiding underneath all the forest floor vegetation.
If there is any,
hard to see them, you know.
Yeah, if there is any, so it's just a bad year, and we'll just have to write it down as that, and hope for a better year next year.
And you know, if you got a garden out and you planted seeds and you haven't been watering them, those seeds are probably rotting in the ground right now because it's dry out there. The ground is drying quick. It is dry.
It sure is.
I dug up around the roadies, you know, the rhododendrons to fertilize them the other day. It's dry, you know, the first 2 or 3 inches of soil are almost like concrete.
Yeah.
So it's time for some rain.
We set out some plants there last night, and I noticed 3 or 4 inches down, it was pretty powdery.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
But
we need rain. I couldn't help but notice we drove to Cincinnati last weekend, and they've all got their crops out.
Well, I was talking to Gwen Mills, and of course he farms and had before he retired had a feed mill. And I was talking to him, like I said, last week when he come down fishing, and they have gotten a lot of the crops already out up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty good going east, you know. We drove through Greensburg and over that direction.
Uh-huh.
You know, and every field I saw had been planted.
Somewhere I don't know where I was at now. Around here, I've seen something that, I don't know, where's corn? It had to be corn. It's a little early for beans.
Yeah, I saw some over Gosport, some corn peeping up.
Well, that may have been, I wasn't over Gosport. This was over close here, but there is some crops out, and
well, they get a little rain, they're going to have a good year.
Yeah, if they can get a little rain now by before it, you know, gets too late.
I was watching your favorite station the other day, Bill.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, rural farm.
Oh, yeah, RFD, yeah.
Right, and a lot of guys on there are real happy. You know, these were mostly guys out in Iowa and whatnot with these huge farms, and they were pretty, they were, one guy saying, hey, I might get 400 bushel an acre this year.
Well,
a lot of bushels an acre. So he seemed pretty happy at this point. I hope it works out for him because prices are going down like a like a shot rock, and because of the tariff. And they figured to lose 30% of their income on soybeans and corn this year, they were saying.
I kind of doubt if it'll be 400 bushel to the acre. But,
I kind of doubt it, too. I'd more like 200 or...
He might get 200, yeah.
But he was optimistic. They're all real happy, and because they got it out so early this year, earlier than normal. And I had my garden out a little early, but not.
Oh, he just started putting ours out.
May the 10th, freeze date.
Yep.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
The day before yesterday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. It's garden time.
Garden time, yes. What does Brian say about the Iowa planting, Rich?
I haven't heard from him.
Oh, you haven't heard
from
him?
He's been out planting.
I'm pretty sure he's out planting.
He's out planting. That's the reason you haven't heard from
right.
him.
Right. He's probably pretty tired when he comes home.
I would imagine, yeah. Well, it's kind of up to the boys now to do it. So.
Well, I don't know why they'll whether they'll even need all those soybeans since Trump has a trade war going on with China and they've decided to stop buying any of our soybeans. So maybe that'll create more of a demand here, but it doesn't look good for the soybean growers.
No, it doesn't.
Soybeans and corn. Of course, the corn, they'll take up that slack by making more ethanol and they're going to raise the, I know they're going to do this, they're going to raise the ethanol mixture to 15%. And there goes your lawnmower and maybe your boat motor and any other motor that was built, say, 15 years ago before they started really building them to resist this mm-hmm. alcohol. That alcohol just fries gaskets and out in internal combustion engines. So more of the same coming.
Yeah, well, I'm not particularly hepped on it either because there's been a lot of weed eaters and lawnmowers and chainsaws and stuff rent with that ethanol gas and
it's poison.
And mine is one of them. It just well, just ruins them.
Right, I lost a blower.
Yeah,
you know that's had the right mixture of oil and gas and mm-hmm. all that, but
didn't make any difference.
It just seized up one day.
It's they're not made for that, and these older ones, and I don't think even the newer ones are really made for 15%.
Well, no, now my truck is flex fuel, so theoretically it will be able to handle it, but I don't know.
Well, no, you don't.
I really don't until you try it.
And of course, gas prices is going up, and
gas prices are $3 a gallon.
And well, when we pulled out of that Iran.
Uh-huh.
Talk deal, whatever that fixed us.
Well, the I don't know. We got some problems.
We'll
overcome it. There's on the other hand, I got a note from LinkedIn. You know that kind of a business website on the internet where people look for jobs.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they send me every week jobs prospects, and it says there's 7,000 jobs open in Bloomington, Indiana. Of course, a lot of students have gone, so they're probably
probably are now, yeah.
Jobs available are up, so if you're looking for a job, 7,000 here in Indiana. Just about every town reporting had at least 5,000 or 6,000 jobs available.
Mm-hmm.
So unemployment's pretty good, as good as I can remember it. for some time.
Well, yeah, it is, and
that's well.
But a lot of them are probably restaurant jobs. I see in the paper where
yes,
about all the restaurants is wanting cooks and
yes,
servers and dishwashers and.
Menards and Lowe's and all the lumber yards, you know.
Yeah, right.
I suppose the greenhouses are probably looking for temporary workers right now. And, you know, it's that time of year. Lots going on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lots yeah. Going on. Well, as many jobs as they are available right now, there's no reason for anybody to be unemployed, really.
Well, I agree.
There is a certain amount of people that don't intend to work.
Well, that's true. And those people get taken off. You know, when you quit applying for a job at some point and you quit filling out your unemployment forms after your money runs out, you aren't counted as unemployed.
That's right.
So there's a large number of people out there that are still unemployed, but they just aren't counted as unemployed.
Right. You're right.
It kind of makes it funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it real funny.
You don't really know what you're looking at sometimes.
Yeah, figures, that's one time figures lie.
Mm-hmm.
Figures don't never normally lie, but they're lying here.
Well, let's see, I got to, there's trout stocking continuing around Indiana, you know, this weekend.
I forgot about that.
That's going on again today. They're all up north. None of them around here.
No, they don't do much around here anymore.
The only thing we get here is Airline and Midland Pit over at Green Sullivan.
Green County. That's the only two?
Yeah. There may be some. Oh, Spring Mill, I forgot. Yeah, the Spring
Mill. Oh, yeah, that's right.
They put some in there since they were going to dig. They were going to fill that in, you know, remember how they.
I remember that.
A few years ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody who'd ever been to Spring Mills walked around that lake, and they heard they were going to fill that lake in. It was Katie bar the door. I guess they received more mail on that than any issue they'd ever had. And they decided they'd dredge it out and open it up.
Open it back up,
They
yeah.
couldn't afford to haul the dirt out, they said, the spoil that they were going to dredge out of there. Well, they must have found a way to get rid of that somehow.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden found a way to do it.
And let's see, DNR is telling people to avoid planting ornamental pear trees. There was two guys arrested down south of Lake Monroe with knives in the woods by the conservation officers, and a three-legged pet deer was killed up in Hamilton County.
A pet deer?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bad news, huh?
That's bad news when you go to killing your pets.
Mm. Well... that's the way she goes.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, they got him, though. They got
that's
him.
The good part, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I hear music again.
Well, I do, too, and I guess we're going to have to get out of here for another little break. So, folks, get you some more breakfast and another cup of coffee, and by gum, we'll be right back in just a short.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College, right here in Bloomington. They're a proud supporter of community radio and we appreciate them. Right now we're looking at 72 degrees right here in Bloomington, and it's going to stay somewhere around the 90s this week. Today the high is going to be about 86. We're looking at Sunday 90 and Monday 92, so I think more of the same for the rest of the week. So put your hat on, stay out of the sun, and but do enjoy this nice warm weather. Be right back. This is Inside Outdoors. Thank you.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't gone, I hope, too long. Hope you got something to eat there. And you was talking about DNR there. A lot of activity this past week.
Yeah, it's either live activity or they posted some stuff. You know?
Well.
And the number one, of course, the lead one that I got just here the other day was the trout stocking. And DNR will stock additional rainbow trout in 6 northern Indiana streams. So, as I said, it's northern Indiana. If you're interested, here's those streams. Pigeon River in Steuben County. LaGrange-Steuben County line is where that is. Turkey Creek, you know where that is, LaGrange County. Little Elkhart River in Elkhart County. Little Kankakee. Slocum Ditch in LaPorte County, and Potato Creek in St. Joe County. So those are all way up there.
Yeah.
Way up there.
Yeah, we don't get much activity here anymore.
No, we don't.
Of course, you can go to, I guess, Spring Mill.
Spring Mill's got some trout. They got, I think, 700 put in there.
Green Sullivan down at
Airline.
Green County.
Airline in Midland Pit.
And that's about it.
For us, it's a little grim. Of course, this isn't trout country. The water's too warm here. They do have a tailwater fishery for trout, for rainbows, over at Brookville Reservoir, if you want to do that. But I'll tell you right now, I'd be out fishing the streams for smallmouth bass.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time of year for them, and the water's dropping down in most of the smallmouth streams that I observe. And I'd say, you know, if it doesn't pour down rain, it's going to be pretty good this week for a smallmouth.
Well, our rain chances are slim to none.
Well, didn't look like it was going
to. No, we were supposed to got some yesterday, and we didn't. And it dried up before we got here, and they're not giving a whole lot of hope for today. And then they went to talk about Sunday, and I don't look like we're going to get much Sunday.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
What's your weather say, Rich? You're running controls.
It's sun, 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 more sun, and the sun, and then after that it's sunny.
Sun was sun.
Yeah.
I'll be dog. Well, that sounds pretty reasonable there.
Sun was sun.
Sun, and then we're going to have some sun.
Well, we were talking about this when it was raining so much earlier, how it probably quit raining and turn out to be 90 degrees.
And that's just about what it's doing.
It is. They're getting big storms up north now.
Yeah, the north is getting it, but we're not. Of course, we don't need any storms.
We don't need any storms is right.
No.
Let's see. What else we got here? Okay, we're done with the trout. Oh. Pear trees.
Yeah, we were talking about them pear trees. Yeah.
Well, you've seen them. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got one of them.
They're everybody. My dad planted one. They're fast growing. They have nice, pretty white flowers on, but they spread everywhere.
Uh huh.
You know, if they're not invasive honeysuckle with white flowers on them in the woods, they're ornamental pear trees.
Right.
So, don't plant anymore.
And, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know they spread like that until Rex Waters stopped from down at Lake Monroe there. One of the, whatever he is.
I don't know what his title is.
I don't know what his title is.
I thought he was kind of attached to wildlife and stuff, but he seems to do about everything.
He's heavy into ducks and stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's a waterfowl biologist now.
He could be a waterfowl biologist, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. But anyway, Rex stopped. Well, I think it was last year, or maybe the year before, and we got to talking about. He had his crew out cutting pear trees.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do that for? And then he got to telling me how they spread and everything, and I didn't realize that until then.
They're not quite as bad as that honeysuckle, which spreads like wildflower too, but they're still bad.
Still bad, yeah, because they're growing everywhere. And if you lot of those white blossom trees that we see in the spring that think we thinking they're dogwood or something, they're not. They're not dogwood because they look alike.
Right.
They're similar, but they're actually them pear trees that's spreading all over the country.
It's called a calorie pear, C-A-L-L-E-R-Y.
Uh-huh.
And commonly available ornamental pear. And invasives and should be avoided. There are several different types called, you might see a New Bradford, a Cleveland Select, Autumn Blaze, Aristocrat, Capital, Chanticleer, which is a rooster, and dozens more. There are lots of different varieties.
Well, I didn't know there's that many varieties. We got a Cleveland.
A Cleveland? Well, see, there you go. It must have come from Ohio, huh?
I would have thought so, yeah.
I bet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I bet. Well, anyway, don't plant those. And, you know, that invasive honeysuckle's worse than anything. It was just, it's everywhere. You go drive down the road and you look in the woods, anything green right now, that's probably...
It's probably what it is because it is green.
It is very green. It comes up pretty early. It was up with the forsythia bushes that was that early.
When, you know, they pretty come, much, yeah.
They come up pretty early. So, yeah, well, there's lots of problems like that.
Yeah, we've always got problems.
And, there's some problem someplace all the time.
It's too bad the pear trees are that away, but
yeah, and they grow fast. They grow tall, and
they do.
They pretty much crowd out other things or shade them out. So you know, watch those pear trees. Now the honeysuckles things, you can't just cut them and get rid of them because they grow right back.
They grow right back all bigger and better every time you cut them down.
You got to pull them up by the roots or dig them up by the roots or...
Keep mowed off.
If you try spraying them with, you know, that Roundup stuff or any of that other herbicide, it might kill a few leaves, but that doesn't phase that plant.
I didn't ever try to spray mine.
It does not work.
I got one there. Yeah. In my chicken lot.
Well, you got one, you'll soon have 100.
And
they really put out the seeds and flowers. I was wondering, Bill, not to change the subject, but I thought earlier we ought to ask everybody, did any of you people out there listening, you know, our loyal listeners, did you find any mushrooms this year? Did you find any morels? And did you get a turkey? So our number here is 812-323-1200. Got that? Is that right?
That's right. Okay. You got it right.
All right. Well, give us a call.
323-1200.
Yep. And we'll be right here. Bill, answer any question that you got.
Well, yeah. Heck, I'll try. Yes.
I know you will.
Yeah.
And let's see. We got other DNR stuff going on. They get active when the sun comes out.
Yeah.
They're going to stock 2,000 catfish in city parks around the state on May the 14th. That's coming right up.
In city parks.
Right. Uh-huh. Little ponds in city parks, you know, most all city parks have little ponds on here.
Okay, I guess that's all right.
So they're putting channel catfish in them. Now, they probably have some, you know, trying to provide recreational opportunities. I hear they got a list of the parks, where if you want to go.
Got a list of parks.
They got a list of the parks they're getting stocked. Evansville, Garvin Park, Evansville, Diamond Valley Park, Terre Haute, Dobbs Park, Pond, Indianapolis, Krannert Park. I used to work there when I was a kid. Washington Township Park in Avon, Riverside Park in Indy, Meadowlark Pond in Carmel, Munger Park Pond in Lafayette, and Robinson Lake in Hobart, and Lakeside Park in Fort Wayne. That's quite a few fish.
Yeah, they're spreading it out pretty good.
Yeah, they spread. Well, the biggest dose is 300 going to Lakeside in Fort Wayne. Most of them are getting around 200. You'd probably catch 200 fish pretty quick. But, you know, it's something to do, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And I would say they probably pointing towards the fact that they'll entertain the younger generation.
Absolutely. And you can fish for them with worms. And
fish and stuff and teach them how to fish. And
you don't have to have fancy equipment.
No.
A cane pole will work.
I used a cane pole many a time.
Me too.
Yes, sir, we have.
Well, my wife is from up in the country in northern Indiana. And she still will cast her rod and reel as if it were a cane pole.
Uh-huh. It's hard to get away from it.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Because we was raised with a cane pole.
Yeah, there you go.
We didn't have them fancy rods and reels.
No, I sure didn't.
I didn't either. And not very many, because we was all in about the same boat.
And you could dig the worms up out by the chicken coop, you know.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Red worms are still really good if you get real red worms now. You got to have real red worms.
Used to get a lot of them under the rabbit cages.
They like that. Or by the barn, you know.
Yeah.
Any place there's a lot of rich soil.
Mm-hmm.
They also gather under, you know, if you're out on a country road and you see a big pile of leaves and they're wet, you know, you pull those leaves back.
There'll be worms under.
Those are good.
Them's called leaf worms.
Yes, those are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some worms that aren't so good, though.
There is. There's some. That's
you'd have to be a worm expert.
Yeah, you'd have to really know your worms.
So I guess nobody out there got any mushrooms or...
Evidently not, because they're not bragging about
they're
it,
not
they?
Swarming on the phones this morning.
Uh-uh.
So, gosh, I guess I'd go ahead and... Should we talk about the three-legged deer?
Well, yeah.
Should we talk about
let's
that?
Let's hear about a three-legged deer.
Well, if I can find that. It was on...
A pet three-legged deer.
Yes. It was up in Hamilton County, in a neighborhood, a subdivision up there. Let me get this story up here. There it is. Man charged in poaching three-legged deer. Indiana conservation officers filed charges in Hamilton County against a man who shot a three-legged deer in January of 17. Local residents of town of Deming, you ever hear of that?
Never heard of that one.
Had frequently spotted the doe for several years and raised several sets of fawns. Local deer hunters had formed a pact to leave the deer alone. Allegedly, the doe was shot illegally with a rifle from the suspect's vehicle on a public roadway and was left dead in the field. The deer was recovered by conservation officers who donated the venison. In February 2018, a phone tip led to a suspect who later admitted taking the deer. Currently facing multiple Class C misdemeanor charges, including additional wildlife offenses. Conservation officers think the person who called our tip line to report the information led to the successful, thank this person who called the tip in. All information, including the caller, will be kept confidential, and reward money can be issued for information that leads to the conviction of violators who are reported on the tip line. That's 1-800-TIP-IDNR. 1-800-TIP-IDNR. I hate to see stuff like this. You know, it makes all outdoors people look bad.
It does.
It really does.
It does. And I know I get my Wyoming magazine. I got it the other day, and it said that in there that they might work on a case for 10 years or more.
Well,
until they get all the proof and all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted, and then they... And this one guy, he just got through paying. They caught him second time poaching, and cost him $7,000, and his hunting privileges gone for the rest of his life.
Mm.
He cannot buy a hunting license of no kind. No,
did they take his truck and his gun?
Didn't say they did, but they
could.
Might have.
I usually do out west.
And the thing of it is, he can't buy an Indiana license because Indiana's in
that, the 36 state compact.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's a sunk duck.
That 36 state, I think it's still 36. That's where all these states have agreed. If you get your license taken away in one of them, you get it taken away in all of them.
Right.
And similar things like that. In fact, our old buddy, what's his name, the singer that we used to have do our
down in up in Michigan, down in Texas.
What's his name there, Rich?
Hey, Rich.
You listening?
Yep.
Okay, who was it that used to do our theme song? The singer.
The singer that did one. Well, we never had him singing.
Yeah, we had him on the radio. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, he's a hunter. A
down in Texas.
NRA guy.
Oh, you mean Ted?
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent. Yes.
That's it.
Well, I'm sorry. We never used him for our theme song.
Oh, we didn't?
No.
I thought he was.
I didn't think we did.
No, no.
Well,
we had him on the show once. So.
Yes, we had him on once, and that was
man.
Okay.
Yeah. He's lost his hunting license in about every state I know of.
Yeah,
and he was poaching in California, and they're really severe on that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So he won't be hunting around there anymore.
Well, I guess he got his fill of shooting when he was in Vietnam. Oh, wait, no, he didn't go to Vietnam, did he?
No, he lied about that.
Yeah, he.
He was at the NRA convention. Well, I guess we all saw that on TV last week, or week before last it was, wasn't it? But I happened to notice in that NRA convention coverage that the Colt sign was hanging up in the back. I know they went bankrupt, but they're still there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and they're still going.
Still going.
They got a lot of their loans that they didn't pay off reduced,
mm-hmm.
And so they're still Colt's still in business.
And they're not going nowhere.
And Remington, although they're bankrupt, they're still in business.
They're not going nowhere.
And Smith and Wesson, even though they're bankrupt, they're still in business. And firearms sales this past year under the new president were down 30-some percent, over 30%. This last year, where they'd been breaking records every year under Obama because everybody was saying Obama was going to ban guns. Of course, he didn't.
He didn't, and he wasn't going to start with. But that's the rumor that got out. People believed it. And
Trump, President Trump, since they don't think he's going to make any firearms rules, the firearm sales went down,
mm-hmm.
Because people aren't worried about it.
Yeah, right.
So there you go. That's a strange thing, isn't it?
Kind of works. You'd think in the opposite of the way.
It's just
one of them things.
It is.
Hey, we're going to have to take another break.
Okay.
So if you're still hungry, get you some more snacks there, and we'll be right back. And we got a lot more to talk about. So don't go away. Leave that radio right there on that dial, and by golly, we'll be back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 108.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Right now, we are looking at right around 72 degrees right here in downtown Bloomington. Tonight, we'll have a low of 66. Sunday, it looks like we're going to be having a high of 90. Monday, 92. And the rest of the week, looking pretty much like a pretty warm weather. So it's going to be sunny all week, and so basically keep your hat on. You're listening to Indiana's own WFHB Radio. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By gosh, hope we wasn't gone too long, and hope you didn't move that dial on that radio. By gum, we're still here.
Hey, and, I have a little comment about what we were just talking about.
Okay, go right ahead.
Oliver North.
I saw that.
I mean, what is going on with the NRA?
Well,
I mean, does that make sense or what?
Sure.
Let's just put a traitor in charge of the whole thing.
He's a hero for them.
Man.
I
guess if you sell a lot of guns, you...
Well, he's got that TV show, War Stories with Ollie North.
Yeah.
And he's a hero for that particular political group. And he was an ex-Marine, so he's got those credentials. Right. He was a colonel, in fact. So there you go, Ollie North, president of the NRA.
That's just apropos for what's going on nowadays. I couldn't believe that.
Well, it seems, almost appropriate. Well, I guess it is appropriate for the NRA to have him as president. And it tells us about everything we need to know about it. So, speaking of violence and mayhem and whatnot, our DNR boys caught a couple of guys wielding knives down south of Lake Monroe this past week. Did you hear about that, Bill?
Yeah, I read about that in the paper.
The local paper?
Local paper.
Well, I'll be darned. They must have got a DNR news release just like I did.
Probably did.
Indiana conservation officers arrested a male and a female yesterday on multiple charges in Monroe County. Jacob Ferguson, age 20, and was arrested for resisting law enforcement, possession of methamphetamine, and battery on a police officer, while Kyla Terrell of Ellettsville was arrested on charges of possession of methamphetamine and marijuana. Just before 3:30 p.m., Conservation Officer Kurt Kinzer, who I guess was at your house, Bill, responded to a suspicious person call on Mission Valley Lane outside of Bloomington. Kinzer, that's below the dam, right?
Yeah, that's below the dam.
Down at Lake Monroe. Kinzer encountered Ferguson, who was armed with a large knife and aggressively approached him. Shortly afterward, Terrell exited the woods, also armed with a large knife. After both subjects dropped their knives, Kinzer observed the suspected methamphetamine, and began to place them in custody. Ferguson attempted to strike Officer Kinzer and fled on foot. Kinzer gave chase, deployed a taser, and was able to subdue Ferguson.
Yeah, that was a mistake. He said that boy needs to learn something.
Further investigation revealed additional suspected methamphetamine concealed on Terrell. She was also taken into custody. Multiple agencies responded, including Monroe County Sheriff's Department, Monroe County Police Department, Indiana Conservation, Indiana State Police. Boy, they had that covered, didn't they? All charges are merely accusations, and defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty, or unless proven guilty. Media notes photos of arrested may be obtained by contacting Monroe County Jail.
Well,
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not laughing at you. Too bad you're arrested. That's the way it goes.
Boys, you just don't mess with the conservation department.
Well, it's not a good idea to mess with any police.
Well, any officer, yes.
That guy up in Indianapolis was putting his cell phone in his back pocket on his grandma's back porch and got shot seven or eight times. So, the policeman's there standing there. You better say yes, sir, and do what they say.
You better. I mean, now them two's just lucky they put them knives down when they did.
Well, they are.
Because he had no choice but to protect himself.
The next thing would have happened would have been a shooting.
And they might have had to bring that tank down there.
Oh, yeah, our new tank.
Yeah.
Well, they could have brought that down. Have they got it yet?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh, it may be some.
It's still in making.
It is being made, a brand new one.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
that's from my understanding.
Got to get some mileage off of that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they could have brought that down from Bloomington if they'd had it. and
really
protected herself.
Rounded up the rest of those guys in the woods. Uh-huh. Probably a whole parcel of them.
Probably more than just them two, really.
Well, I don't know.
We'll find. We may find out.
Well, it doesn't take too much to make a methamphetamine, as I understand it. And a meth lab can basically consist of two or three 1 liter soft drink bottles. So you don't have to have a lot of equipment.
I don't know anything. I wouldn't know the start of it.
Well, we all watch. A lot of people watch Breaking Bad. You remember that being on TV, and that had all of that information in it. You didn't watch that. That's okay.
Didn't watch that much of it.
Okay, I got one more DNR escapade here. Outstanding work, Officer Andrew Harmon. Two guys with two castanets were illegally catching 4 channel cat, 1 flathead cat, 6 largemouth bass, 30 rough fish, 87 bluegill, 366 crappie in Huntington County, Indiana. This past week. 17 hours ago is when it was reported, actually. So, cast nets. Now, who would have the nerve to get out there? I guess at night, you might not be observed, but
I was thinking the same thing.
A cast net. You can see guys throwing those across the lake.
Wonder if they were selling fish fillets.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they were just going to grind them up for cat food or something. I don't know.
I don't know either because
they got a picture of them on DNR's Facebook page, and they're little bitty fish, a lot of them.
Oh, they are.
Most of them are, and there are a few of the bass are pretty good size, and the catfish are bigger, but. Looks like a lot of those bluegills are pretty tiny, 87 bluegills.
They caught that many, I'd say they would be.
87 bluegills, 366 crappies, and there can't be one in there more than 3 or 4 inches long. That'd be a lot of filleting for just a tiny little chunk.
Well, they wouldn't fillet them.
Just grind them all up and make them into fertilizer, is my guess. Maybe the bigger catfish you could eat, but
evidently they were keeping those.
They had them on their person, or in their boat.
So I don't understand what they do with that smaller fish, but other than maybe take them home and stock them in their own lake or something.
Maybe, but I don't. They were all dead.
Oh, they were? Well, they wouldn't be no need of stocking them.
No, fertilizer, I'd say.
We're going to put them around their tomato plants. That's what it was.
Yeah,
they're going to put them around their flowers and tomato plants.
Man, we've been on gardening once already, but having been to all the gardening spots yesterday, people are just thronging into these garden and places where you can buy seeds and fertilizer and stuff like that right now. Just overwhelming. Overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. We went to one, last Wednesday, I think it was, and couldn't find a place to park. We just drove through and come back home.
Absolutely. We left two on one of them, too.
Went early the next morning.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Get there before 9, you can have a little peace.
Yeah. they're just, like you said, they're just flocking in and out.
It's a real boom in gardening this year, I guess, unless they all just came out at the same time. Maybe that's what it means.
Well, it's been cold and bad and everything. Right. Everybody's finally kind of got out one time, I think.
I think that you're right about that.
But we went to another wholesale place where they sell all them plants, and their parking lot was the same way.
Well, there
only
you go.
We found a parking place. We parked in the driveway.
Well, that's as good a place as any, I guess.
It's the only place left, and
what
that's
the
where
heck?
I went.
What the heck? Well, there's a little action up at Eagle Creek this week.
Oh, they are? They're going to drain it.
No. You remember when we had all this these 10 horsepower lakes? Dogwood was, you could only use a 10 horsepower motor on it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the other fish and wildlife area lakes and the Green Sullivan, you know, over in there, either electric or no motor. And anyway, apparently people have been disregarding that up at Eagle Creek Reservoir up in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine that?
I can't hardly imagine that.
So they had a picture of 7 police cars. Setting at the boat ramp. So if you came out of there and they were taking the engine covers off to check the underneath on the serial number, tell you what horsepower your motor is. So they were pulling the covers off of them. Because for a long time, when these 10 horsepower lakes were the thing, you could buy either decals to put on your 15 horse motor. You could buy a 10-horse decal, or you could buy the whole cover, you know, the engine cover that goes over the top, the cowling, whatever you call it, for a 10-horse motor that fit exactly on the 15-horse. You know, the 15 and the 10 were interchangeable.
Uh-huh.
So the police, as they call them up there, they were onto this.
I bet they was.
I guess a lot of guys got arrested, and a lot of people complaining about the bigger boats also, you know, at places like Dogwood. They just eliminated the 10 horsepower rule there four or five years ago, maybe. And when they did that, they opened it up to any boat. So you can take your 25-foot, 200 horsepower bass boat down there, but you got to run at idle speed. Well, a 25-foot boat with 200 horse running at idle speed makes a pretty good wave.
I was going to say, well, you're going to be moving. Yeah, you sure are.
You know, that's one of those places where, you know, we can't take our little boats out on Monroe because there's no place to launch them anymore. But we always had places like Dogwood.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dogwood, right. Down in Glendale Fish and Wildlife Area and other lakes like that. But if they're going to have those big bass boats out there so they can do bass fishing contests on our bluegill lakes, I guess there's nothing we can do about it, you know. It's another case of the big money gets benefit.
Yeah.
So there you have it all.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, there you go. So that's what's happening on the motor scene. And, boy, don't take a 15-horse motor on your boat out at Eagle Creek Reservoir.
I'd say
you're going to get caught.
I'd say that woke a lot of people up.
By the way, Eagle Creek's been producing a lot of nice crappies this year.
Already this year.
Yeah, they've been catching them there, and they're pretty good. You know, they look like they were pretty good size.
I was wanting to go over to Cataract, but 40-foot high, there ain't no use going.
I'd say so. I'd say that's absolutely right.
Yeah,
a little early for Cataract yet.
No need to go over there and at 40 feet above normal.
40 feet, that's a lot
that's
of water.
A long ways.
It's a long way to the bottom. And yeah, that's on top of the regular depth. So if your regular depth of fishing there is usual 12, 15 feet for crappie, you know, if you're fishing on the stump down on the bottom, that's now 52 feet underwater.
Yeah.
You need a lot of string on your rod and reel for that.
Yeah, you better restring it before you go and put plenty on.
Yes, sir, because you're going to catch some stumps probably fishing that deep. Of course, there's no fish down there at 52 feet, no oxygen, I don't suppose. And this is the time of year that the crappies are often right up on top because the water's warm up there. They kind of laze around that first 2 or 3 feet of water.
Uh-huh.
So you just float around with a little bobber with no weight, you know, laying down on its side. And when the crappie comes along, that bobber sticks right up in the air.
Oh, yeah. And that's when you want to yank.
Yeah. They're fun to catch.
Oh, yes.
Fun to catch. Always have been.
Yep. They sure are.
Everything's open at Yellowstone. Yellowstone Lodge.
Got everything opened up there, and the snow's kind of melted away. And
Lake Hotel, Old Faithful Lodge are all open for business for the season. Mm-hmm. They're still got a lot of snow on, not on the roads, but in the mountains and along the road. There's still quite a bit of snow.
I was reading there in my Wyoming magazine that overall they had a mild winter, or, you know, a mild, and milder than normal, maybe.
Maybe not cold as usual.
Yeah. And the hunting looked good.
Mm-hmm.
For, well, turkey hunting was looking good. Of course, their season's in now.
Mm-hmm.
About the same as ours. Ours getting ready to go out, Sunday?
I think so. I think this is it.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I believe it is tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe it is, too.
And but theirs is, I think, still in out there. But all elk and deer and antelope and all was looking good this year.
Yeah.
So have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, they. I know around Yellowstone they had record snowfall. Now the cold didn't seem, there wasn't much of that 50 below stuff this year, but mm-hmm. they had 200 inches of snow.
That's not bad. If you say it real quick.
Better get some taller boots.
You better have some big boots.
200 yeah. inches of snow, it packs down, you know. Over, they have a snow tail outside of Cook City, out to Montana, up in the pass there. And, it, you know, it's a great big, tall measuring stick. You've probably seen them before.
Uh-huh.
And when the snow first falls, of course, you know, that snowfall could look like you got 10 feet of snow. But the next day after the air is, you know, it kind of packs down a little. And
right.
That 10 feet is down to about a foot, you know. So that 200 feet of snow that was measured falling is not the same that ends up being on the ground because it packs down. And it might read 121 inches instead of 200 that you actually got.
Right.
It's kind of confusing. Of course, we don't have to worry about those kind of things here, I hope.
No, no, we didn't have to worry about that.
Thank goodness.
Good land. 200 inches of snow, that's getting up there.
That's a lot of snow, Bill.
It's a lot of snow.
I guess I'm hearing somebody playing music again.
Yep, that Rich, he likes to play music.
Well, I guess it must be about time.
It's about time.
Gee, how that flew.
Isn't it? That wonderful? Yeah. I mean, no, that's sad.
Oh, that's yeah. sad. Well, thanks for calling in, folks.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you calling in. And anyway, have a good week and enjoy it. We've enjoyed having you with us, and we'll be back next week with something. We don't know what. Shoot, we just think of it as we come to it. So have a good week, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, online at WFHB.org. You've been listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be back next week, 6 a.m., every Saturday morning on WFHB.